See, I find that everybody has a number, and it's usually an exact number. So what is yours?
More.
More. You know that sound, guys. Markets are open. Welcome to the Closing Bell episode number 6. This is an off-the-cuff episode that I was inspired to make after we just completed our 10-hour maintenance for patch 5.4.7. So in today's episode, I have a few topics I want to talk to you guys about. Resetting markets, stalking your competition, and a little bit of arbitrage. So let's get right into it. I don't have a lot of listener interaction I want to go into today. I just want to kind of get right into it. And I want to talk about market resets as a strategy that I've used over the past 24 hours. And although it's a little late coming to you guys since we just did have the reset with the potential new framework for boost to 90s in the game, and people griping about the $60 and whatnot, there could be some potential for some extended maintenance in the future days or future weeks to come. So I want to talk about the strategy that I tend to use, not frequently, but when I see a need, I will do it. And this strategy particularly pertains to the gem market. This is the market I was most interested in taking a look at and resetting last night. So the way the strategy works is I was looking at the gem market, and some of these cuts for these gems are 38 and 40 gold for a cut for million onyx. Some of the primordial rubies, the strength and intellect and agility gems are down around 35 gold. We're talking Matt's cost. I don't know what you guys are paying for ghost iron ore, but I'm paying 40 gold a stack. I have some suppliers that can get it to me for 35, but these guys are flaky. When prices are high on the auction house, they'll post it. When prices are low, they'll whisper me like I'm their best friend. And I don't know, maybe I should just be better at forging relationships with these guys and maybe be more proactive about staying on top of them to sell to me, but I just don't have the time or the desire. But in any case, with 40 gold a stack ghost iron ore and 35 gold golden lotus, that puts my price per gem at around 35 gold. And to see these cut gems at 35 gold, it bugs me. It makes all my work in vain because these prices are so low. So let me get to the point here. I knew we were coming up on a 10-hour maintenance, and most of the big players in the gem market are posting their gems on 12-hour auctions, which means that if they didn't post it within the final 2 hours before the server shut down, their gems would be expired. So what I went ahead and did was I posted 3 to 5 of each of my gems that I was interested in resetting. We're talking about the most popular cuts: Quick Sun's Radiance, Smooth Sun's Radiance, some of the Vermilion Onyx that have expertise, since Mr. Robot is telling everyone to gem expertise haste, expertise crit, as opposed to the main stat and then the off stat like we were doing back in Throne of Thunder days. Those expertise plus and off stat gems are always going to sell. So what I went ahead and did, I posted a good amount of gems at around 11 o'clock at night last night, and I posted them about 5 to 7 gold under my mat's cost. Some of them ended up selling, so I ended up losing some money there. But what it did, and the purpose of it, is to inhibit my other jewel crafter competitors that are also using TSM from posting their gems. They go to do a post scan, and if they're not paying attention, they just scroll their mouse wheel to post their gems, and half of them won't post because they're below their threshold. And if the guys have their threshold set so low, then I'm able to then scoop them up and buy them because they're below my mat's cost, and it saves me the prospecting time, and it saves me the cutting time. So it's a win-win there, except for if my gems sell. And I did end up selling some gems. I ended up selling about 18 gems, so I lost a few hundred gold there. But when I woke up today and went to work and came home pretty early and found that servers, of course, were a tad late coming back up, but pretty much right on time, I was able to log in the game right when servers were coming up, went straight to the auction house, and did a search for the gems. Now, normally I have a hard time resetting some of these markets because they're 30 gems deep, and I'm not going to reset a market with 30 gems. But with the 10-hour maintenance and the expiration of a lot of these gems, I was able to reset about 12 different cuts. And I was able to actually buy out some of my competitor stock at my cost or slightly below my cost because I was able to bait these guys into posting them for less than me. And there's this one guy, I don't understand his strategy because it's so obvious. He tries to wall up the gem market when he goes to sleep. I'm not going to say his name. I wonder if he listens to the show, but I'm on to you. I know that when you post a 10 stack or a 10 single stacks of a gem, I know it's because you're about to go to sleep. So I just wait until you go to sleep and then I undercut you. Like, it's not, you're not clever. So what I did with this guy is I've been following him on the Undermine Journal. And that's a great way to stalk your competitors. And we'll go into talking a little more about stalking your competitors in a second. And I know this is super internet stalker creepy, but I don't care. It's all part of gold making. So one of the things I did, I know this guy goes to sleep around 1 o'clock in the morning, Central Standard Time. So around 12 o'clock, 12:30, I went ahead and started posting some cheap gems. And sure enough, he tried to wall me up on some cuts. I ended up buying out a lot of his stock. And that really slows down his factory. It slows down his process because now I bought all his stock. Maybe he made 2 or 3 gold a gem, assuming he's getting ghost iron very, very cheap. But I was able to buy up his stock. And now today he logs in. Yeah. He's got some gold in the mailbox, but he's got to go get that ore. He's got to go prospect it. He's got to go find the golden lodes. He's got to do all the work. This gives me 1 to 2 hours of lead time on my main competitor so I can post and I can start, you know, making some money. So when I logged in today, like I said, the 12 cuts, I was able to buy out. Some of the cuts only had 3 gems and they were posted at like 38 gold. I was able to buy those out and reset it up to a decent price where I can make some money for my efforts. And this is another important part of this strategy. Don't go thinking that 5.4 just dropped and you're going to reset a market that people are used to paying 50 or 55 gold a gem. Don't go resetting that to 199 gold because some Robin Hood or auction house hero is going to come through and he's going to re-undercut you down to 50 gold and he's going to post a 10 or 20 wall of those things. Put it at a reasonable price. I went ahead out with 99 gold. It's a little higher than people are used to paying. They're used to paying, you know, 45, 55 gold for these gems over the last couple months. But it's an amount. It's still 2 digits. It's an amount that a guy or gal will not flinch at, and they will just buy the gem. And what really inspired me to come record this episode right now, kind of off the cuff, is that immediately after I reset these markets, people started coming into the game. And they started buying the gems. Within the first 14 minutes of me doing a post, I had 1,800 gold worth of sales at high prices. You know, we're talking 99, 129, 179 gold for like Keen Vermilion Onyx some guy bought because I only had like 6 of them to post. So this is a strategy you can do with a lot of things. I did this a little bit with enchanting too today, but enchanting is very fickle. Since the mats are so cheap, people can just do the deep undercuts. And I just don't get that. And I don't think there'll ever be any understanding to why people do that. I know they're using TSM because we're in posting wars all the time. I know they're doing it. They must have to go in and manually do this. But anyway, I won't go too much into the psychology of why people do deep undercuts. But don't be afraid to reset some markets. It is a risky strategy. There is some planning involved in doing it. And you want to make sure that you do have the capital to where if you do lose out, it's not a big deal. It's a learning experience. I spent about 3,000 gold just now resetting some of these markets. I had 1,800 come back in. So I hope I'll break even here within the next couple hours, which leads me to another important part, probably the most important part of doing these resets. Make sure your schedule is a little bit clear and you're going to want to be camping the auction house for at least an hour or two so you can make sure no auction house hero comes in and deeply undercut you, and then all the other guys that get off work start piling on and piling on and piling on. Next thing you know, all your work is in vain. So the camping is just as important as the resetting. Now, the next topic I want to go into relates to what I've just been talking about with identifying the jewel crafting market and resetting, and it's stalking your competition. It's no secret that the Undermine Journal is a great place to look at your competitors' posting history, their heat map of when they're awake, when they're asleep, what they're making, what they're posting. But if you're on a server anything like mine, you've got more than 1 or 2 competitors. And so one of the things I recommend and one of the things I've started doing lately as margins have dwindled and I've had to pump up my volume to make any kind of gold because the margins are so thin. And posting costs really become an issue because when you're making a glorious stats and selling it for 150 gold, it doesn't really matter if you want to either cancel repost or keep piling on and keep posting 5, 6, 7, 8 times a night. But when you're getting down to a 15 to 20% profit on something like a glorious stats or some other popular gem or enchant, you have to be really mindful and really cautious of when you're posting and how you're posting, because enchanting mats and enchanting scrolls may not be the best example because they're one of the cheapest posting costs. But when it comes to gems and things, you know, and PvP gear, whether it be leather, cloth, or blacksmithing, your posting costs can really add up when you start canceling auctions and losing those initial deposits. So you definitely want to be going over to the Undermine Journal, identifying those 5 or 6 thorn in your side, the guys that are relentless, the guys like me that, you know, undercut you and then you cancel and repost and they do it again because they have the stock to do it and they keep doing it over and they just don't give up. You want to print out about 5 or 6 of those different people and just sit down on your coffee table one day while you're, you know, having some coffee before you logged in the game and, you know, get a highlighter or a pen or something and identify some of the overlap times when your main competitors are not on and, you know, set a little iPhone reminder or set a little alarm clock that reminds you, like, this is the optimal time when these guys have either gone to sleep before they've gotten home from work or before they've woken up. And you can snipe a lot of sales this way. You might think that the late night hours may not be the best for gold making. You know, everyone knows that from, you know, about 6 o'clock to 10 or 11 is the best time in the evening to sell things. But I had some really, really nice sales last night between midnight and 3 a.m. when the servers went down. I came home to a nice full mailbox because of the Australian people playing on my server, the late nights, the third shifters. So there's a lot of night owls out there, and you can make some nice sales by posting late at night and by identifying when your competition has gone to sleep. So keep an eye on that. Now, when you're keeping an eye on your competition, you always want to have these people on your friends list. If you use multiple different bankers or multiple different characters to post gems on character A, glyph people on character B, have those friends, have those competitors listed as friends. Now, you're not going to have them on real ID, but you can just add their name. And when you're posting in TSM, you can right click the competitor and it'll add it right to your list and set a note. Because if you're on a large server, you're going to have 5, 6, 7, 10 people on your friends list that are competitors. Set that note that says, this is my JC competitor. Set the hours that he's used to logging off so that that it reminds you that if you see, oh, player X is on, you click on his name and in the notes it says, normally goes to sleep around midnight, or normally goes to sleep around 2 a.m. and it's midnight. It's futile just sitting there and camping the auction house. It's a waste of both your time. Go out and do something else. Come back at 2 a.m. or come back at midnight or whenever it is. The other thing has to do with the next topic I'm going to get into, which is arbitrage, which is sniping the neutral auction house. I've been a big fan of moving things across faction on the same realm through the neutral auction house. But one of the big things you never want to do if you're going to be using this strategy is to be moving things across the neutral auction house on your main character. And the reason for this is just that I described before. If other people have you on their friends list, they're going to know when you go to Winter Spring. They're going to know when you go to Tenaris and Booty Bay. And they're going to see that. And if they're smart, they'll have a character already parked at one of the neutral auction houses like I do. I have a dedicated neutral auction house character. So just a few minutes ago, I saw one of my main competitors in the gem market, on the Horde side actually, going over to Winter Spring. And I thought, this is a little peculiar for a level 90 to be heading over to Winter Spring. It's kind of odd. So I immediately logged out, logged into my neutral auction house character, my dedicated guy, and since there are only about 10 or 15 items on the neutral auction house, I opened up Auctioneer, and I just started hitting search, 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 as if I was trying to get BlizzCon tickets, like F5, F5. And what that did is just, it pulls up every item on the auction house, and you just keep doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. And after about 2.5 to 3 minutes, I saw 3 Shaw crystals go up at 2 copper each. This guy was trying to move something either with a friend or between 2 of his accounts, and I was able to snipe those 3 Shaw crystals. I know you guys might be thinking, damn, Sushi, you're cold. Well, I guess I am. You know, when it comes to this gold-making stuff, these are some strategies that you can make money on. And, you know, since I'm doing it on a dedicated tune that this guy has no idea who it is, he doesn't know it's me. You know, I'm not going to get any angry mail or angry whispers. So that's a strategy you can try. You know, if your competitors start moving into the zones where neutral auction houses are located, snipe them. People have tried to snipe me before. I think I've even gotten successfully sniped when I was moving a couple thousand Ghost Iron ore across factions. So it's all in the game. Now, as you guys have probably seen on Twitter, and if you're on Twitter, you could probably see the most popular thread if you were looking through a telescope from outer space, from the moon. I mean, there's actually no tweets on Twitter at all besides the, oh my god, 90s, level 90s are $60. I just went in the game. I opened up the shop. I didn't see that feature. I might have missed something here. But whether it's in right now or it isn't, just the fact that the framework's in is something that should be setting off some alarms in your gold-making brain and your gold-making way of thinking. You know, if this thing doesn't happen this week and these 90s don't come in, you know, this week or next, it's not very long away. You know, it's weeks to a month or a couple months away that these new 90s are going to be coming in. And while a lot of people have taken a hard stance on Twitter and said, oh, $60 is too much, I'll never do this, people said that about the Transmog helms. And how many Death Knights did you see rocking that blue frozen helm? And how many other characters did you see, Clothies and casters, with that flaming helm? That was a $15 helm. This is a $60 character. People talk the talk, but when it comes down to it, they're going to do it. I mean, people are going to buy it. A 40 pack of cards in Hearthstone is $50. And this is a whole level 90 character for $60. I think the price is a little high personally, but I'm not here to debate that. I'm here to say that human nature will take over and people will get excited about that warlock and that priest and that warrior and they'll buy it. So what you guys need to do right now, today, as soon as you hear this, is go to wow-realmpop.com and make a spreadsheet or take a post-it note or whatever. And if you're interested in just one faction, let's say you're just interested in the Horde, go to your realm, write down the number of 90s, select on the slide bar, 90s, and write down the exact number of characters there are today. Right now, Ally, Airy Peak, there's 15,890 characters. If you want to go a little further, write down, go class specific, go Hunter, Shaman, Monk, and take the exact numbers of how many level 90s there are today. And when this 90 thing happens, whether that's today or in a week or in a month or two, you're going to want to see the discrepancy in those numbers. You're going to want to see the difference in those numbers, and that's going to help you identify the best markets to go in. If we see a influx of monks or an influx of rogues, which is one of the lowest represented classes, you're going to know that that leather PvP and those crafted leather pieces that you can make with the hardened magnificent hide are the pieces you want to be in. You want to be crafting. You want to be flipping. You want to have your cut of that. If it's the opposite, if it's clothies, you know, warlocks have been popular all expansion long, especially in the later parts of the expansion. If it's warlocks and disc priests, you're going to want to have your tailors up to speed, and you're going to want to have that celestial cloth, and you're going to want to be making that gear, and you're going to be wanting to make the 522 helms and boots. You're going to be wanting to do all that stuff. But you don't want to go in unarmed, without numbers, without data. So take your data down today so you have a personal account of how many 90s there are, and you can see where the 90s are ebbing and where things are going, and you can use that data to make the most amount of money and not waste it on blacksmithing stuff if not a lot of people are leveling up or boosting plate-wearing classes. So take that advice, get those numbers down for yourself in your home realm, and if you're on Airy Peak, yeah, you got it kind of easy because I'll do it all for you, and I'll come tell you about it on the next show or the next couple shows or whatever that may be. Now, since I've talked about monitoring your competition, sniping them, neutral auction houses, I want to talk about arbitrage a little bit. And no, I'm not talking about the Richard Gere movie from 2 years ago, although that was a pretty damn good movie. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it's on Amazon Prime right now if you want to take a look. It's pretty neat for us goldmaker nerds that love economy stuff. But the arbitrage I want to talk about is taking advantage of a price difference between two or more markets. And the only way that I really know how to do this cross server is through Battle Pets, and obviously you can do this cross faction on your home realm with things that are very popular like gems and enchants and item enhancements, and you can also do it with more common things, Goldthorn, you know, rare herbs, Tiger's Opal, things that on your home faction are either overpriced or they're in short supply or they're hard to get. They may not be on the other side. transmog's really popular on your side and there's three or four transmog overlords that are running their fat loot scans every day, five times a day, you're not going to be able to pick that stuff up, but you may on the other side. So that's something to keep in mind, and it's something to continue to do whether we have these new 90s this week or not, and we're, you know, we're back into the grind of just normal gold making until the 90s come in. You know, you don't want to discount the other faction on your home realm, even if there's kind of a conception that, oh yeah, you know, server A is all Alliance, no Horde. Well, that might be the popular opinion, but, you know, on Airy Peak, for example, there's 15,890 level 90 characters on the ally side. There's nearly 4,000 level 90s on the Horde side. That's 25%. So would you miss out on 25% more customers by just staying on one side? I mean, I wouldn't, and I don't. And I make a considerable amount of money on the Horde side. Doing it is a little bit more technical and a little bit more, requires some more finesse. I'm lucky enough to have, you know, two accounts that I pay for and a dual monitor setup. So I'm able to trade things pretty easily at late hours on characters that people don't really know unless they're real ID friends with me. You can do that way, but if you don't have the two accounts, go into business with someone. Partner up with your main tank on your raid team. And if you want to flip some things, you know, get with him and get on Mumble after raid and flip some things over. If you want to do it cross-server, which I talked about last time on Poor House to Profits, I was starting to look at some arbitrage and leveraging some of my gold on both Earthen Ring and Airy Peak. And I've gone ahead and done that, and I've done it successfully with a couple things. You know, the droplet of Yasarge made me 6K. And just yesterday, I was able to buy two Kovacs, actually. A lot of people come over to Airy Peak, and they come over and they want to level a tune up to 15 so they can get into CTR and see if they like it before they start spending real world money to bring 90s. So what do? They bring pets over, and they're on a new server. They don't know anyone. They need to sell the pets cheap. And while I hate to take advantage of these people, I'm not lowballing them. I'm giving them fair offers. This guy was able to sell me a Kovac, and I was able to pick up another Kovac for the 7,000 range, which I thought was a pretty good amount. And then over there on Earthen Ring, they're selling up in the high teens, like 18, 19K. I was able to actually sell one in trade for 12.5 within a couple hours of making the buy on Airy Peak. And I was able to make another quick 5K and change. So that was a nice little flip. You know, this last week I made 10K profit and just arbitraged between pets on two different servers. And I've noticed that there's a discrepancy in prices of certain pets on one market to the other. And it's not fair or accurate to say that pets will always be cheaper on one market than they will on the other, because pets have a lot to do with competition. If there's just one or two, the price will remain stable for days to weeks. If there's three or four guys trying to sell a pet, they do the deep undercuts. And that's when the big deals come in. And that's where you can get really undervalued pets. I don't know why people do this. I think when you have to kind of get in the mindset of an average casual player when they get a high-end pet, it's a big windfall for them. You know, they go into LFR, they down Siege Crafter on LFR. If that's even possible, I don't know if you can get a group to do that, but they down him and they get a fail bag, but they get a pet too. And it's like this big windfall. It's like free gold. It's like, it's almost like the mindset of I farmed it, so it's free. And they go in the auction house and there's, you know, three or four of them, guys selling for 15, 16K. They post theirs for 9 because it's free to them. And that's when you pick up the big deals and move them between the two servers. So don't discount the battle pets. I'm not particularly into pet battles, but I really can't deny the profitability in doing the strategy. So like I said, guys, this is just a kind of a quick off-the-cuff episode. I want to share the strategy with you guys. I was pretty excited about it. I probably need to let you guys go because I need to get back in game and keep an eye on these jewel crafting markets and make sure these Robin Hoods aren't coming in with the deep undercuts. So I'm going to let you go. That's it for episode 6. Just a quick down and dirty episode. We'll come back to you with episode 7, maybe sooner than later. You know, we'll see how things develop with this 90 business. But I hope all is well in your gold making, and we'll talk to you next time.